VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here today on the VCY American Network. For most weeks, we really seek to have a news roundup on Fridays to keep you informed on a number of breaking stories from throughout the course of the week. However, sometimes there are exceptions to that, and this is going to be one of those exceptions. We were scheduled to have Alex Newman earlier this week here on Crosstalk, but due to some challenges in schedule that was not able to come about here on Monday, and he is actually free in his schedule to join us tomorrow on the program to deal with some very critical information. So we trust you'll be able to join us tomorrow. And as a result of this, we're moving up our roundup day here today to the broadcast. And a lot has unfolded already this week. Every day virtually could be a news roundup of so many things that are happening. But we seek to keep you informed on a number of critical issues, present news and information that are not going out nationally for the most part through other broadcast media, but also to encourage us to be understanding of the times in which we live and to understand that we are to occupy until the Lord Jesus returns. Occupy till I come. And though we anticipate the Lord is coming back, could be at any moment, even before this broadcast is over today, we want to be faithful as stewards before him. And so let's be salt. Let's be light. Let's continue to be bearers of the truth of God's word. Let's share the good news of the gospel to a world in need. And as we're informed, it helps us to better pray for this nation, to be praying for those that are in leadership. And we're praying for repentance to take place. We're praying for a heart change to take place in the lives of many. Well, friends, certainly dominating a lot of the news right now is the student loan forgiveness, an action that the president took that he does not have authority to do. Coming to us from Fox Business, the plan will cost U.S. taxpayers between $440 and $600 billion over the next 10 years. That's according to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. The president announced up to $20,000 in federal student loan forgiveness yesterday. Students who attend college using the federal Pell Grants qualify for that $20,000. Those not using Pell, $10,000 in forgiveness. Truly amazing that he'd take such actions. The move is, from townhall.com, the move is being blasted as a scam by Republican lawmakers and top Democratic economist Larry Summers. He worked for President Barack Obama. Warns that this is going to cause even more inflation. And friends, we're going to go back just a year in history. Yeah, it's called a flashback, as CNSNews.com reminds us. Nancy Pelosi said that the president does not have the power for debt forgiveness. This was July 28th, 2021. It was a press conference. And in that press conference, Nancy Pelosi made that statement about Democrats pushing to cancel student loan debt, a move that would leave American taxpayers with the tab. Here's what she had to say.
People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone. He can delay. But he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
I mean, even the Speaker of the House saying, President Biden, you don't have this power to do this. Now, I haven't heard her speak out yet regarding this currently, but that's what she said just 1 year ago. President Biden does not have the power to do this. Well, on another issue, the Daily Caller is saying U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart rejected the Department of Justice's argument Monday to keep the Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit under wraps, saying the government has the burden of proof to show why parts of the affidavit must be sealed. Well, today, the Justice Department filed its proposed redactions to its affidavit that explains the reason for the unprecedented search of Donald Trump's Florida estate, but it's unclear when or if parts of the affidavit will be made public. Reinhart is still weighing on whether to keep the entire affidavit under seal or to release part of it. Newsmax.com reports after filing a motion to halt the Justice Department review of items from the Mar-a-Lago raid, Former President Trump fired off a statement denouncing the violation of his rights under the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, saying, quote, "We have just filed a motion in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida strongly asserting my rights, including under the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution regarding the unnecessary, unwarranted, and un-American break-in by dozens of FBI agents and others of my home, Mar-a-Lago, and Palm Beach, Florida." He said they demanded that the security cameras be turned off, a request we rightfully denied. They prevented my attorneys from observing what was being taken of the raid, saying absolutely not. They took documents covered by attorney-client executive privilege, which is not allowed. They took my passports, even brought a safe cracker and successfully broke into my personal safe, which revealed nothing. We are now demanding that the Department of Justice be instructed to immediately stop the review of documents illegally seized from my home, his statement continued. All documents have been previously declassified. We are demanding the appointment of a special master to oversee the handling of the materials taken in the raid. We are further demanding that the DOJ be forced to turn over a real, without plans, inventory of my property that was taken and disclose where that property is now located. We are demanding that all items wrongfully taken from my home be immediately returned. This Mar-a-Lago break-in search and seizure was illegal and unconstitutional. We're asking all actions necessary to get the documents back. The Daily Signal reporting voting procedures significantly different in the most competitive battleground states in this fall's midterm elections compared with some of the controversies of 2020. The most narrow margins of the last presidential election were in the states of Arizona, where Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump by just over 10,000 votes, Georgia, where Biden beat Trump by fewer than 12,000, Wisconsin, where Biden won by just over 20,000, and Pennsylvania, where Biden won by more than 80,000. That's according to the numbers that have been provided to the nation. Well, a look at what's different this year in these four states. Wisconsin, the Supreme Court struck down the drop boxes. Pennsylvania has put a ban on Zuckerbucks. Arizona, one new Arizona law requires that the Secretary of State compare death records with the statewide voter registration database to root out invalid voters. Another state law enhances the security of voting machines. A third new law in Arizona stipulates removal of the names of inactive voters from an early voting list if they have not voted in two consecutive election cycles. And a fourth law requires voters to sign the envelope in which they submit an absentee ballot. And in Georgia, the Georgia law reforming elections requires voters to show a valid ID before casting an absentee ballot. The law also establishes guidelines for ballot drop boxes. And one of its more controversial aspects, the Georgia measure prohibits political operatives from offering food, bottled water, anything of value within 150 feet of a polling place. Coming to us from WND.com, while President Donald Trump and others have been expressing concerns over anomalies that have been evident during the 2020 presidential election, Democrats and many establishment figures in D.C. bureaucracy have expressed that it was flawless, nearly perfect, without so much as a hint of a failure. Now a post office, listen, folks, a post office in Baltimore apparently has turned up evidence of that perfection. WMAR-TV, the city's ABC affiliate, said the United States Postal Service facility found a tray of undelivered mail and included 26 blank ballots from 2020. The letters were just delivered. Now the Baltimore Board of Elections is trying to understand how this happened. Mail and ballots are supposed to be prioritized, but for a block of homes in the southeast Baltimore, theirs came nearly 2 years after they were supposed to be delivered, the report from WMAR said. A spokesman for the post office, Tom Olet, said, "We deeply regret the late delivery of these mail pieces. The Postal Service takes these issues very seriously and is working to help avoid issues like this." Folks, it is nearly 2 years after the election. The Epoch Times reporting that some 5,000 Texans who used a P.O. box as a voter registration address will likely be able to cast a ballot in the state's midterm elections after a federal judge blocked a 2021 state election law. Senate Bill 1111 attempted to tighten residency guidelines for Texas voters, but was struck down this month by U.S. District Court Judge Lee Yackel. He's an appointee under former President George W. Bush. He presides over the Austin Division for the Western District of Texas, found in a summary judgment that the state used vague language in the election law and parts of it failed constitutional scrutiny. Well, the Attorney General for Texas, Ken Paxton, appealed that decision last week to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The bill required people registering to vote with a P.O. box to show proof of address, such as a driver's license or a utility bill. You know, how many people use the same P.O. box is quite amazing at times. FoxNews.com reporting George Soros and other left-wing billionaires have flooded a Chuck Schumer-aligned super PAC with millions of dollars as they look to maintain a majority in Congress's upper chamber, federal records show. Soros steered $2.5 million from his Democracy PAC to the Senate Majority PAC in July, while hedge fund billionaire James Simons added an additional amount, according to the new Federal Election Commission filings. The duo was the largest donors to the committee last month, which is now entering the home stretch of the midterm elections with nearly $73 million cash on hand. The new Soros cash also brings his total to the Senate Majority PAC to $10 million for the 2022 elections, making him one of the largest contributors behind a dark money nonprofit affiliated with the PAC. Majority Forward, a nonprofit that does not identify its funders, has provided the Senate Majority PAC with at least $27 million in donations this cycle. That's according to a previous Fox News digital review of campaign finance records. Longtime Schumer ally J.B. Porsche, president of both Majority Forward and the Senate Majority PAC, the groups also share office space and also share personnel. George Soros, other billionaires, ladies and gentlemen, are flooding Schumer's PAC with millions of dollars in order to save the Senate majority. I've got a pretty amazing clip here. I tell you what, I think I best hold this until after the break because it, well, let's see if we can fit it in here. This is New York's, the question mark, is this New York's next AOC? AOC, of course, is loved among progressives. She was a former bartender, now a socialist superstar. However, there's another up-and-coming New York politician that may become the next socialist star. This is a New York State Senate Democratic primary winner, Kristen Gonzalez. She used her victory, her recent victory in the primaries in New York, to brag about socialism. Here's what she said.
I know we're saving the speeches for a little later, but today we really prove that socialism wins.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? We really prove that socialism wins. We are not going anywhere, and we will not stop until we see a socialist state across this city. A statement by Kristen Gonzalez, who won the New York State Senate primary, Democrat primary, this past election. More to come, folks, after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. How troubling. Did you hear the cheers from those that were around her promoting socialism? We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about those huge flying reptiles?
Chris, some of the flying reptiles were as large as a mid-size aircraft. Some people have wondered how in the world they could have ever flown. As it turns out, they really couldn't fly in today's atmosphere. There's not enough air pressure to keep them up. Creationists have long supposed that the environment before the flood was quite different than now. We suspect that air pressure was quite a bit higher than now, making it more reasonable that these huge creatures could fly. Recently, an engineer built a model of one of these flying reptiles and tried to make it fly. He found that it had many wonderful adaptations to increase the flying ability, but there still wasn't enough air pressure to keep it aloft. To evolutionists, it's a big mystery, but to creationists, we at least have a plausible theory. And we get that by going back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
Friends, as we share these stories with you in our news roundup, please know this is not a time of despair, certainly a time of sorrow. It should beckon us to repentance as individuals and as a nation, but it does not lead us to fear. We know that God is in control of this world. What he has before ordained will indeed come to pass. Our trust and confidence is in him. We continue to pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," in times like these. But we also take the time to call the world to repentance, to turn to him. Many issues that are going on, and things are really heightening again in the Middle East. From Track Persia, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Monday has accused the United States of procrastinating in indirect talks to revive the 2015 nuclear deal, said a prisoner swap with Washington, not linked in the negotiations, but pushing for this Iran deal. Also, we have from CBN News, Israel and Arab countries bracing for world powers to re-enter the 2015 Iranian nuclear deal. Some fear the negative impact it's likely to have in the Middle East and beyond. Israel's prime minister urging the U.S. and other nations to stay away from what he sees as, quote, a bad deal, saying it would give Iran $100 billion a year. This money would not build schools or hospitals. This $100 billion a year that will be used to undermine stability in the Middle East and spread terror around the globe, Israel's prime minister is warning. Gatestone Institute tells, here's a headline, Iran prepares to take out Israel right after Iran deal is signed. Mullahs appear convinced that once the Biden administration capitulates completely to their demands for reviving the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, that they will be step up their already significant efforts to eliminate Israel and export their Islamic revolution to Arab and Islamic countries. Iran already occupies four Arab countries, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, and Iraq. Iran's mullahs appear to be so confident that the Biden administration has turned its back on its Arab allies in the Middle East that they are issuing direct threats not only against Israel, but against any Arab country that dares to cooperate with the Israelis. Meanwhile, the mullahs are busy trying to open up a new battlefront against Israel, this time in the West Bank. The mullahs appear to be so emboldened by a Biden administration's weakness that they are now openly talking about using the West Bank as a launching pad to attack Israel and to kill Jews. From frontpagemag.com, Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, so terrified of being killed by Israel that he changes his sleeping arrangements every night. Sometimes, he once admitted, even I don't know where I am. Yet there he is threatening Israel from his Lebanese hideout, warning the Jewish state not to start exploiting gas from the Kurdish field that Israel claims as its own. Whether a nuclear deal with Iran is signed or not, if the U.S. mediator does not give Lebanon what it's asked for in terms of its rights, we're heading toward an escalation. We're heading towards a problem, said Saeed Hassan Nasrallah in a televised speech without elaborating. But he said, again, we are heading toward an escalation. We're heading toward a problem. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the hatred against Israel is increasing. And one day, all the nations of the earth are going to be standing in opposition against Israel, but they will never, ever be able to destroy this nation. From townhall.com, a new report from the Office of the Inspector General at the Defense Department confirms the value of U.S. military equipment abandoned and left by the Biden administration in Afghanistan. The number comes 1 year after the catastrophic exit from the country. According to Department of Defense analysis, the Taliban is in control of $7 billion worth of U.S. military assets. It includes military aircraft, ground vehicles, weapons, and other military equipment. It's being reported from Reuters that the Biden administration has marked Ukraine's Independence Day Wednesday, yesterday, with a $3 billion in security assistance, Washington's largest aid package since Russia's invasion 6 months ago, but one that could take months or even years to arrive. U.S. officials warned that Russia appeared to be planning to launch fresh attacks in coming days on Ukraine's civilian infrastructure and government facilities. White House spokesman John Kirby said the range of weapon systems would take different amounts of time to reach Ukraine, with the surface-to-air and radar systems taking longer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got breaking news. President Biden is back building the wall. But guess what? He halted the construction of the border wall, launched under the Trump administration, after campaigning on the premise that it was a symbol of racism, xenophobia, and division. But it turns out that taxpayers are footing the bill for a security wall confined to Biden's vacation home in Delaware, his Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. At a cost of nearly $500,000, a Delaware construction company operating on a Department of Homeland Security contract will construct the barrier, a barrier around his multi-million-dollar beach house, Breitbart News reported. The project is scheduled to be finished by June of 2023. Why is a wall necessary there but not protecting our own country? You see, the wall, he said before, was a symbol of racism, xenophobia, and division. Then why do we need a wall around his vacation home in Delaware? I'll let you ponder that one. Okay, coming to us from USA Today, Jill Biden tested positive again for COVID-19. The White House announced yesterday that's just one day after she tested negative. After testing negative Tuesday, the First Lady has tested positive for COVID-19 by antigen testing. This is represents a rebound positivity. As a result, the First Lady, who was supposed to return to the White House with the president on Wednesday, stayed behind in Delaware while he arrived alone on Marine One. I'm not gloating, friends. Be praying for her and for her recovery and for others as well. But what a double standard that we are seeing take place across this land. Daily Caller is reporting Republican Kentucky Senator Rand Paul sent a letter to the National Institutes of Health on Tuesday of this week, calling on them to preserve all documents and communications with Dr. Anthony Fauci's possession related to his tenure at the NIH. In the letter, he called on the NIH to preserve all records, emails, electronic documents, data created by or shared with Fauci during his tenure at NIH that relates to COVID-19 or to coronavirus research conducted by the NIH. AID, that's the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, that Fauci has headed since 1984. Rand Paul also called on the NIH to notify all current and former employees to preserve any relevant documents, communications, and other information. Paul told the Daily Caller, quote, Dr. Fauci misled the American people on public health guidance throughout the pandemic, lied to Congress under oath, funneled tax dollars to fund dangerous research in communist China. The American people deserve transparency and accountability from the NIH regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, regardless of Dr. Fauci's future employment plans. Fauci announced Monday that he had plans to step down here during the month of December. Daily Signal is reporting that the largest school district in New Jersey going ahead with plans to implement a mask mandate during the entire 2022-23 school year. That's according to district policy. Also, they're to practice social distancing by remaining at least 3 feet apart for the entire upcoming school year. Okay, just an update. We have not provided these numbers in a long time, but the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS, their report through August 12, 2022, shows 1,385,398 adverse effects reported to them. And keep in mind that this is just a small fraction, according to a Harvard study, of adverse events, because the very few percentage is presented to VAERS. But so far, after the COVID shot, there have been 30,347 deaths, 9,915 anaphylaxis, 15,853 Bell's palsy, 4,941 miscarriages, 16,278 heart attacks, 51,566 myocarditis and pericarditis, over 56,000 individuals permanently disabled. And you know, the U.S. is not alone in vax-injured. Alex Mitchell, who lost his leg after taking the AstraZeneca vaccine, this is in Great Britain, spoke to Mark Stein about his experience on the GB network, the Great Britain network. And here's what he had to say about just the number of those that he knows committing suicide.
You have a good attitude that actually requires some determination and some will to maintain. You were tweeting last week that one of your fellow vaccine victims just committed suicide.
That's four in the last 5-6 months, Mark. Two of them were actual people that had COVID, long COVID, or long haulers, as we call them, who it's just been recognised now that long COVID exists. These people got to the stage where they'd had enough. So that's, we've lost two long COVID and two vaccine injured to suicide because nobody is helping them.
Yes.
And when they go and try and tell the world through social media, they get misinformation from Twitter, or they get banned or suspended. Or, like myself, you get it from those that took the that are pro-vaccine saying you're being anti-vaccine because you're being negative against the vaccine. And you're getting it from the anti-vaxxer saying you took it in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, so we get it from both ends and everywhere in the middle. And when the government put misleading posts, that just lets the whole world into gives abuse. And these people are at a level where, you know, you try to explain the dark places that some of us have to visit. Not because you want to, because you're told that you may not survive the next 24 hours.
Yes.
And then to deal with that trauma, and then you're trying to deal with what's happened to you, you can't do that.
You know, later in that same interview, they spoke of over 1,700 vax-injured individuals in Great Britain that are presently petitioning the government for compensation. And at the rate that they're going, I believe it's only 12 people have been compensated so far. But they said at this rate, it'd take over 10 years for their claims to be heard. Truly amazing. And again, that's just a case in point. We talked about what was happening in the U.S., but this was another case from Great Britain. The situation here, lost his leg as a result of the AstraZeneca shot. But these incidents happening all over the world. You know, the stories also continue to pile up of athletes suddenly dying. And the news came forth, troubling news this morning. Western Journal telling us about Rab Wardell, 37-year-old Scottish cycling champion, died suddenly Tuesday of this week. He was just laying in bed, suddenly went into cardiac arrest and passed away, NBC News reported. His death came just 2 days after he won the Scottish MTB XC Championship. That's a mountain biking race in Dumfries and Galloway, the BBC reported. But another star athlete just suddenly passing away. And sadly, were there so many of these, to compile them would be frightening, but it's happening in many, many different sports across this nation and around the world. CNBC reporting that Australia, a bank in Australia, is planning to scrap plans for new diesel and gasoline cars as the country is looking to increase their electric vehicle uptake. Well, there will be no more loans. You see, they're going to stop giving loans for new combustible engine vehicles, including hybrids. From 2025, Bank Australia will continue to provide them for used vehicles, but no more loans for new vehicles that are using gasoline engine. Isn't that amazing? And that's going to be another way of control that will be taking place in places around the world. I've got more on that issue. Yeah, we're going to head to California next, that is looking to ban gas-powered car sales. Yelly Caller has its story. We'll tell you about it after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Looking back at Dwight L. Moody's life, it is tempting to focus solely on what God accomplished through a common man from Northfield, Massachusetts. Preaching to millions, starting multiple schools, spearheading the Christian publishing movement, and inspiring men and women to Christian service is difficult to ignore. Yet surely, why God used D.L. Moody is as important as how God used him. In the book, Useful to God, author James Spencer presents 8 lessons from the life of D.L. Moody with practical applications for the reader. You'll see how he was surrendered, prayerful, studious, and more as he was consumed with a passion for lost souls. This book will challenge you to cultivate these characteristics in your own life. Useful to God is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Yeah, you can get banks on board. Okay, we'll just stop giving loans for new gasoline-powered vehicles. California Daily Caller is reporting the California Air Resources Board set to finalize an expansive plan to ban the sale of new gasoline-powered cars by 2035. This may accelerate the national transition to electric vehicles. The state's ban will require 100% of new cars sold in California by 2035 to be free of fossil fuel emissions, up from the current 12%. Interim targets require 35% of vehicles sold in the state by 2026 to produce zero emissions, rising to 68% by 2030, according to the New York Times. The zero emissions car mandate will only allow electric vehicles to be purchased may be adopted by at least 12 additional states fairly soon, while five additional states, which already adhere to California's more comprehensive vehicle pollution reduction programs, are anticipated to do so in about a year. In other words, there are going to be many states that are going to be following the lead of California to ban the sale of new gasoline-powered cars. California, by the year 2035, no more brand new gasoline-powered vehicles will be sold in the state of California. Just wait for that next power outage, folks. FoxNews.com, Biden Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm suggested in a recent interview that the U.S.'s green energy push will be, listen to this, the greatest peace plan in world history. Saying, quote, if we want to be energy secure and energy independent, that means we've got to produce our own energy. She said in an interview with Voice of America News on Friday, my counterpart in Ireland, the energy minister there, has said that no one has ever weaponized access to the sun. No one has ever weaponized the wind. Perhaps a move to clean energy will be the greatest peace plan the world has ever known. My. New York Times. Yeah. About ready to hear that trumpet, ladies and gentlemen. New York Times reporting fresh off signing expansive climate legislation, President Biden and his administration are planning a series of executive actions to further reduce greenhouse gas emissions and help keep the planet from warming to dangerous temperatures, said senior White House officials. Mr. Biden is on track to deploy a series of measures, including new regulations on emissions from vehicle tailpipes, power plants, and oil and gas wells, the official said. In pushing more executive action, Mr. Biden is trying to make up for the compromise that his party made on climate measures to pass, listen to this, the Inflation Reduction Act. Everybody say, hey, yes, wonderful. Joe Manchin, you did this and you cut them away from making these extremist pieces of legislation. Well, now it's going to be done by executive order. Democrats had to scale back some of their loftiest ambitions, including by agreeing to fossil fuel and drilling provisions as concessions to Senator Manchin. But Gina McCarthy, the White House climate advisor, said that regulatory moves combined with the new legislation and action from states could help Mr. Biden meet his promise to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 50% compared to 2005 levels by the end of the decade. So what they did not get accomplished in this compromised legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act, so-called, thank you, Senator Manchin of West Virginia. You've got many West Virginians listening right now. Now we have the White House indicating we're going to do, we need to enhance that. We need to make up now with these executive actions. The Daily Caller reporting that the price of U.S. natural gas futures reached its highest point since 2008 as gas demand continues to spike amid the worldwide energy crisis and the passage of the Democrats' climate bill, according to the Wall Street Journal. Natural gas futures for November, December, and January each surpassed $10 per million British thermal units, that's BTUs, on Monday. High prices are largely due to the strong demand for gas in Europe amid uncertainty surrounding Russian natural gas flows. Further, the Democrats' new climate bill sparks regulations that will hike excesses for natural gas producers. Dan Kish, a senior fellow at the Institute for Energy Research, told the Daily Caller News Foundation, quote, with Biden's new climate tax bill, new fees on methane, higher royalties and fees, and more regulations will drive costs higher and higher. How's that impacting Americans? Well, USA Today has a story. More than 20 million households, about one in six American homes, are currently behind on their utility bills, according to the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, as reported by Bloomberg. And folks, we're going to see these spikes. We're not at the end of this yet. There's a whole lot further that this is going to go. They said that those households who owe a combined $16 billion in unpaid utility bills double the pre-pandemic total. The average balance owed has climbed 97% since 2019 to $792, according to the NEADA. Mostly to blame, according to Bloomberg, is a surge in electricity prices propelled by the soaring cost of natural gas. Why is that all happening, folks? Look at the policies that have come forth from this administration. Household electricity charges in the U.S. were up 15.2% year over year in July, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Price Index. Natural gas prices are up by 30.5% over the same period. And if this doesn't frost your cake, from the Daily Caller, the Biden administration is considering funding the new Canadian mining and metal industry as it's desperate to acquire rare earth minerals to build renewable energy technologies. However, the administration has previously blocked the development of U.S. mining efforts. Following the passage of the Democrats' massive climate spending package, the Biden administration is looking to import critical minerals such as lithium and cobalt and nickel, may even give money to the Canadian mining industry to acquire such minerals and help push mineral supply chains out of Chinese hands. It's not bad to push out of Chinese, but here we are looking at considering funding Canadian mining while blocking development within the United States. FlagandCross.com reports that the United States Strategic Petroleum Reserve has fallen to its lowest inventory level that's been seen since 1985. That's under the stewardship of President Joe Biden and his controlled Congress. WND.com, led by a Nobel Prize laureate, more than 1,100 scientists and scholars have signed a document now declaring climate science is based more on personal belief and political agendas than sound, rigorous science. I don't have more time to go into that, but that's interesting to know. That is more than 1,100 scientists and scholars saying there is no climate emergency. Let's go to Rebel News. Miller's Organic Farm, located in the remote Amish village of Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania. The farm supplies everything from grass-fed beef and cheeses to raw milk and organic eggs to dairy from grass-fed water buffalo and all types of produce to roughly 4,000 private food club members who pay top dollar for high-quality whole food. Well, Amos Miller, the farm's owner, contends that he's preparing food the way that God intended. But the U.S. government doesn't see things that way. They recently sent armed federal agents to this Amish farm and demanded that he cease operations. The government is looking to issue more than $300,000 in fines, a request so steep that would put the farm out of business. On the Ezra Levant Show, Rebel News USA reporter Jeremy Lofredo joined a guest, Sheila Gunn-Ree, to provide an update on his fight with the government for the right to sell his produce to whoever he wishes. They said there's this farmer named Amos Miller. He's been farming for 25 years. No electricity, no fertilizer, no gasoline. He's really an impressive crop yields using only the oldest of methods, totally organic. He has milk. He has beef. He has different types of sheep. He has chicken, all types of vegetables. He's a private buyer's club of 4,000 people across the country that pay him top dollar for the food. And the government doesn't like his idea of a private buyer's club. They've raided his farm with armed federal agents, and they've said he needs to stop selling his meat until he gets regulated by the federal agencies whose job it is to regulate food. He's figuring out now how to fight the federal government, what he's going to do. And, you know, he's been put in this really tight spot along with the people who look to him for his food. They're not getting their meat and dairy right now because of the government. Amazing, folks, the lengths that they're going to taking action, armed agents going to the Amish farmer. Let's go to lifenews.com. In recent weeks, Stacey Abrams has been using Christianity to defend her pro-abortion views. During a speech at the Allen Temple AME Church in Woodstock, Abrams claimed in Bible that the Bible supports abortions. As a daughter of two pastors, Abrams says she has a strong moral core and a good understanding of Scripture, saying, "I was trained to read and understand the Bible, and I will tell you this, there is nothing about the decision to eliminate access to abortion care that's grounding in anything other than cruelty and meanness and danger in the state of Georgia," she said. She told the church. Nothing. The Democrat candidate also bashed her political opponent by name from the pulpit, portraying Kemp as a religious extremist who wants to control women. Abrams and other abortion supporters have been bringing up Christianity frequently lately to attempt to justify their pro-abortion views. "While your faith tradition may tell you that you personally do not want to make that choice," she said, "it is not my right as a Christian to impose that value system on someone else." Abrams said earlier in the month in an interview with Yahoo News, "because the value that should give overhang everything is the right to make our own decisions, the free will that the God I believe gave us. So we have the free will to go ahead and kill another human being? Where do you find that in Scripture, Stacey Abrams? Why don't you read the passage that says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood?" Daily Signal reporting, Philadelphia, residents and taxpayers represented by the Thomas More Society sued the city for funding abortions in violation of Pennsylvania law. Earlier this month, the Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney announced that his city would provide $500,000 to the Abortion Liberation Fund of Pennsylvania, a group that pays for abortions. Good news out of Tennessee. Tennessee's last three abortion facilities are said to be closing by the end of the month, reports LifeSiteNews.com. LifeSiteNews.com also reporting the city of Nashville ordinance gives tax breaks to companies who pay for abortion travel. Yesterday, we're talking about what happens with corporate groups like Walmart that is paying for abortion travel for their employees. And now a new ordinance signed last week by the Nashville and Davidson County joint government adds a requirement that companies report whether it provides its employees with benefits that include everything the cost of transportation, accommodations, and other related costs when necessary to obtain medical treatment not otherwise available in the employee's home state, which would include reproductive health care treatment such as abortion. Tax breaks to companies who pay for abortion travel. And get this, from LifeNews.com, the Biden administration told a United Nations body that it promotes abortion to minorities and illegal aliens in order to combat racism. Oh, friends, this is the ultimate genocide, taking the lives of small, innocent black babies. And the Biden administration, yeah, we're promoting abortion to minorities in order to combat racism. It is disgusting. Gateway Pundit telling us Massachusetts voters will now be getting a chance to decide if those illegally living in Massachusetts should be given licenses. A group of citizens got the signatures to be on the ballot in November, and it will be interesting to see how the state deals with that issue. We're coming up against a break, but in coming into our last segment, I'd like to open our phone lines, 800-733-9829. If you want to come in on these or other current event stories, 800-733-9829. By the way, those of you in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, this is jsonline.com. The first time in 10 years, Wauwatosa School District has approved a new human growth and development curriculum addressing controversial issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. Well, folks are starting in kindergarten, and lacrosse has been put on notice as well by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty that their proposed ordinance to ban so-called conversion therapy would be in violation of the First Amendment. We'll take your calls after the break. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I am just hours home from the Moment of Truth Summit, sponsored by Mike Lindell. I helped him organize this, and my camera crew produced the entire television special. And I was even shocked. And I've been on the inside for 18 months. In fact, I helped to introduce Mike Lindell to one of these individuals, Dennis Montgomery. We were criticized roundly, but we found out Sarah Carter, John Solomon, and Sean Hannity even were talking about him on television as well a few years ago. On the documentation, what is it, my friends? Bottom line, we've got a problem with machines, cyber hacking, and we've been ridiculed and criticized, but it appears now all the information is coming out. It's being documented. Apparently, we now have a uniparty, Republicans and Democrats working together to decide who they want in office, not we the people. More information at frankspeech.com.
Grabbing a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Our telephone number, if you want to comment on these stories or other current event-related issues, 1-800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. You know, those that are part of this death culture and killing babies in the womb, there is no end to this destruction. Don't have time to get into the story, but from LifeSiteNews.com, a young mother dies after her husband set her on fire for refusing an abortion. My, oh my. You see, when every man does that which is right in his own eyes, we see who is the father of lies, who's the father of deception, who is the father of death. And abortion, child sacrifice, is all a part of it. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to begin in Arkansas. We have Alice calling in. Hi, Alice. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. You know, about this abortion issue, when people think it's right, the Bible said that they're going to twist the scriptures to their own destruction.
Yeah.
I've got another scripture, and it's so true. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. America's forgotten God. Or they may say there's a God. The fool is obeying the Bible, the living truth of God, and how to have a wonderful way to live. My heart is just overwhelmed, I guess, with sadness. It's just awful. May God have mercy on the universe, but right now, America, I really think we're getting right for God's judgment.
Yeah, and Alice, I really believe we're already seeing that judgment here upon our nation.
Oh, I do too, but I just think it's going to get worse.
Yes, I agree.
I know that if people would want to love God and know the pleasure of walking with Him, of knowing their sins are forgiven, for having that love and joy and peace, but look what they're doing. They're actually trying to save themselves, and it's impossible. Only Christ can save.
Amen. Thank you, Ellis. Lord bless you. Let's go to Jerry next. Whitewater, you're on the air.
Yeah, there's hate crimes on the books still. Well, why don't the American people wake up? Because if anybody is guilty of hate crimes, it's Biden and his cabinet. Look at how he hates abortion, hates people, babies. They got to be killed, and he goes after an Amish farmer. I mean, the people of this country got to start waking up and saying, hey, let's pursue hate crimes against President Biden and his cabinet for hate crimes against everything he's doing to destroy this country. That's hate. I don't know how else you interpret that.
Well, you know, what's happening is we're seeing a growing hatred against Christianity itself. And
well, absolutely.
And,
there's another one.
Yeah, and certainly against God and his word. But Christianity is being targeted in more and more cases. And the intolerance of born-again believers, people who know Christ and live their lives and want to stand for truth and stand for moral values, there's a growing lack of tolerance for believers.
Yeah, and I wonder how long. I mean, I know God is a patient God, but boy, his patience has got to be running out with everything that's going on in the world. And that's why I see the rapture to happen any minute. Yeah. I mean, it could happen any time here very soon, and I pray that it does.
Thank you for the call here today. We say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And at the same time, we know that he is long-suffering to us, Word. And wow, is his patience shown? His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, Christ's long-suffering is for you to come to know him as Savior right now. But as the caller just said, there, do it before that patient says, you know, I'm done. Go your own way, and we see things really fall apart here. Patricia, Scottsdale, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. This is Patricia, and just wanted to let you know that I recently learned of exposing the global climate engineering cover-up. There are many, many scientists that are showing in their website, geoengineeringwatch.org, that they are doing something in our air that's causing the West to have no rain and the East to be having the floods, such as in Texas and in Kentucky. So I didn't know if you were aware of the global climate engineering cover-up. It's on geoengineeringwatch.org.
Thank you, Patricia. Dick in Washington, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. I want to relate a portion of the Constitution to these problems, and I wish you that you would relate also the Constitution to the problems. Article 1, Section 1, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. The President has no legislative authority, and there is no words in the Constitution that state executive orders. That is not part of the Constitution. And if we go back a little further here, Section 4, Verse 4, the Congress or the Constitution guarantees to every state a republican form of government. These totalitarian dictates coming down are not legal, and they're not constitutional.
I totally agree. There's something called separation of powers. And thank you, Dick, for raising that issue.
Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Have a good one.
Thank you. Okay, let's go next to Robert in Two Harbors. You're on the air, Robert. Two Harbors, yeah. Minnesota.
I was wondering how people interpret this part of the scripture, though. It said that when a man strikes a slave, male or female, with a rod, and if she is expecting a child, and the child is just born, but it's okay, that's going to be fine. But if it's killed, then it's supposed to be eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So the one that carried that, to me, that one that says the one with the miscarriage, if you kill the baby, it's eye for an eye.
If one would cause a miscarriage due to violent action, such as abortion. Okay, thank you for raising that issue. Certainly the value and the preciousness of human life. The psalmist said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, in that my soul knoweth right well. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 1:5, we see as well where God said that that indeed he had ordained while he was still, you know, in the womb there, he had ordained him to be a prophet. And certainly we see life is precious. God is the author of life and does hate the hands that shed innocent blood. Well, troubling news, but of course, remember God is on the throne and we need to live faithfully before him as salt and light to occupy until he does come again. And friends, we trust that all of these things just burden us to be in greater prayer for our nation, that this nation would indeed turn back to God. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.